independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Opioid addiction. It's massive. It's huge. We're losing way too many people, especially young kids, to it. Joining us now, Courtney Hunter, Director of Advocacy for the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, joins us. And young adults, kids, we're losing too many of them, Courtney, and it is the numbers are staggering, and it's rising more and more every day. What's going on out there?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having us on the show today. 174 people are dying every day to a drug overdose, which last year the CDC reported that's around 64,000 people a year. That's more than the entire Vietnam War in terms of the number of people that we've lost. So the numbers are staggering. And, you know, this really starts at home with the medicine cabinets and the prescriptions that are found there. But now we also, because of that, it, you know, has led to a huge heroin problem in the United States. Heroin is much more accessible and less expensive on the street than a prescription opioid. So people are really turning to that. And we really need to treat these underlying causes of addiction and start looking at it like a public health problem.
You know, it's one of these things where nobody starts out this way. You got a bad back, you got a bad knee, you go and you get some prescriptions, and, you know, next thing you know, slowly but surely, it's the old adage of putting a frog in hot water, it jumps out, putting it in cold water and slowly turning up the heat. Next thing you know, it's used to it and it's in trouble. It's the same thing with these things. You need this because you do have pain, but then you look up and you've got a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's so many alternatives out there, actually, non-opioid alternatives for chronic and acute pain. They're just not covered by insurance. And insurance would rather give you a fistful of OxyContin or Vicodin because it's cheaper than to pay for an alternative, which could be more effective in the long term. So you're right. And there's really, you know, no resources for kids when they have to go in for surgery or for a dental procedure or getting their wisdom teeth out. They're given, you know, a 30-day prescription for Vicodin, completely unnecessary. So there's a lot of education that needs to still happen on the prescriber side. We're working on that through our Medicine Safe program, medicinesafe.org. We have all resources for physicians to give to patients, and where parents and families can really find hope and get resources for their family if there is an addiction problem.
Talking to Courtney Hunter, Director of Advocacy for Drug-Free Kids. And, you know, I have been a big proponent of pain management. We need to find alternative ways. We're never going to stop the drug crisis. I think we all know the drug problems. We're not going to defeat it. We need to find ways around it where we can really mitigate what's going on out there and educate people in a better way, because we're fighting a losing battle. And I feel like if there's things that we can do, and particularly when it comes to pain management, Courtney, where I think if we attack pain management in a much different way, more alternative ways, like you said, I think that goes a long way of taking a lot of these things off the street and really stemming the bad tide before it begins.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no reason that in America we consume 98% to 99% of the world's prescription opioids. Other countries don't have this problem. And you know, a little pain is not necessarily a bad thing. Like we used to deal with pain a little bit. We would take an aspirin. We would have like a cold compress. We would maybe get acupuncture. So there are other, you know, ways. We don't have to necessarily turn to opioids as a first alternative or a first step.
No, but we are. And that's a sad thing. And you know, the opioid side of things is really, you know, I don't think people realize how bad it's gotten out there. And you explained to it, it's worse than what we've seen in Vietnam. And, you know, was it 65 deaths last year attributed to opioids? But when you look at young kids and young adults, it's like 1 in 5. That's an epidemic.
Yeah, it is at an epidemic rate. And we need to be treating this like a public health crisis. And there's so much stigma that is attached to addiction, which has prevented addiction medicine from becoming into the medical mainstream, which would really help people get treated and break, you know, this cycle, which isn't happening right now. And insurance also isn't covering a lot of addiction treatment, which is a huge problem. So there's huge barriers to access for people to getting help, which will just continue to perpetuate the epidemic if we don't attack those issues head on.
You talk about insurance, and what would you like to see them do? What would you like to see? What are some of the things out there that you would like to see them say, you know, we should start covering these things? Because if you think about it, it's in their best interest to do this because it could save them money in the long term, and they're about money.
Absolutely. In 2008, the federal government passed a law called the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act, which requires insurance to cover substance use disorder and mental health services at an equal rate that they cover medical and surgical benefits. It's been a decade since that law has been passed. It has not been enforced. They are not covering addiction treatment or services for substance use disorder and mental health at the same rate that they cover other services. In some instances, they even outsource to a third party to cover those benefits, thinking of them as sort of fringe benefits and not medical mainstream benefits that we're actually paying for. And so that's a discrimination issue. You know, there's a federal law in place. They're breaking the law. And if we actually had prospective review of some of those insurance plans before they hit the market, then it wouldn't be an issue. They'd be required to cover those benefits that they are, you know, that's stated in the law. So we're actively working to enforce that right now and making people aware that consumers have these benefits. And you know what? You're getting screwed, for lack of a better term, because you're paying for these. It's a federal law and you're not getting them.
You know, it's we live in a world, as you know, where if it's sexy, it sells. If it bleeds, it leads. We saw what happened in Parkland, which was absolutely awful. But when you break down the number of young kids and young adults that are dying because of this, comparatively to what we saw in Parkland, and you see how many people are marching in the streets because of we need gun control, we need this, we need that, when the reality is the thing in your medicine cabinet is far more likely to kill you than somebody walking in off the street. And there doesn't seem to be that kind of urgency that there probably should be.
You're absolutely right. And stigma is a huge part of that, to be quite frank. If your child has diabetes or cancer, your neighbors show up with casseroles. And that doesn't happen for addiction. People don't tell their own families about it. They cower in isolation. They don't know where to turn for help. And we're trying to change that. We're putting, you know, a public face on this issue and making people aware of where they can go for help, who they can reach out to. We have a toll-free helpline here, 1-855-DRUGS-FREE, where parents and families and anyone can call and help navigate, you know, the treatment system, work through a plan to get your child or your loved one help.
Talking to Courtney Hunter, Director of Advocacy for Drug-Free Kids. You know, doctors get a lot of blame for this, which I don't think is always fair. There's talk about, you know, for a lot of states are looking at, hey, you know what, like you said, you give a kid who's got his wisdom teeth pulled 30 days of OxyContin. Maybe that kid should only have 5 days. Insurances look at everything and, you know, hey, we're giving you 30 days. Doctors, sometimes I feel like their hands are tied. And you know, what do they do? What's their role in this?
Well, physicians do need to be more educated about, pain management, but also addiction medicine and knowing where to turn and refer someone if they are addicted to opioids. But they also shouldn't be prescribing opioids. If you're a primary care physician, why are you prescribing opioids for pain? That's not in your specialty at all. And we see primary care physicians as one of the main offenders of doing that. And we don't understand that, because if you needed, you know, a tooth pulled, you'd go to a dentist. You wouldn't go to an oncologist. So you need to, if you have pain, you should be seeing a pain management specialist. You should be seeing someone or an orthopedist someone who is specialized in that, and they still prescribe as well, but, you know, at a lesser rate than primary care physicians, which is kind of terrifying. And dentists are a huge offender of this with wisdom teeth getting pulled. And that, you know, is sort of the onset of a lot of people's addiction, is getting that first prescription of Vicodin for 30 pills, which is totally unnecessary. So I think the other thing that needs to happen on a state level, which we've seen a little bit, are regulations around the length of prescription. So to your point, 5 days or 7 days for a prescription, we don't need to see these 30-day prescriptions.
You know, I also want to talk about personal responsibility, because you said something earlier. Sometimes pain's a little bit good. We live in a world where we want that magic pill to fix all cures. Hey, I'm overweight. Is there a pill? I don't want to go to the gym and work out. Hey, my back hurts a little bit. And for some people, the reality is, you know what? You need to seek pain management. And that may be the only thing that's going to stop you. But for a lot of us nowadays, we want that magic elixir, something quick and something easy. And doctors, you know, maybe they don't want to, but it's just easier for them to give us something, when maybe we should say to ourselves, we should buck up here and get on with life.
Well, it's hard for physicians to really gauge if you're in pain, right? There's no barometer where they're going off what you tell them. So, if you're saying you're in 10 out of 10 pain, who are they to contradict you? You know, they're trying to manage that and also meet their patients' needs. But they need to make sure that they're mitigating risk here, and knowing how addictive these medications are, it should not be a first line of defense. It should be a last line of defense, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. And like I said earlier, if this was happening in a way that we paid attention to it, like we do with a lot of the other stuff that gets the lead in the news and the marches and the whole nine yards, I think we'd attack it in a much different way, but we don't. Courtney Hunter's name, Director of Advocacy, Drug-Free Kids. We appreciate you coming on today and talking about this, because it is vitally important. And thanks for taking time with us today.
Thank you so much. And please go to medicinesafe.org for resources and help if you need it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. @ Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, CHADBENSON.